The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on a break!
With Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Ambar Garcia, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Monday, December 5th, 2022, season 18, episode number 83. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by Miller Lite, the only beer of the Dallas Cowboys. And we're talking about a crazy, crazy win by the Cowboys, 54-19, a beatdown of the Indianapolis Colts that... The score, I don't know if it necessarily reflects what the game was throughout, but say it as you want to. At the end of the day, Cowboys score a ton of points, have a crazy fourth quarter, and end up with the win 54-19 at home. Let's talk about the story of the game. What is the story of the game for you guys with so much that happened there throughout that game? Nick, we'll start with you.
I thought they had an OBJ-like performance. They were dynamic. They were electric. They were exciting. They were talented. They did the things that you're looking for when you try to describe a player that you may want to add to your team. They showed that, especially on defense. You're not supposed to have an explosive defense like that, and they did. I mean, I kind of disagree a little bit. I think the score was exactly the way the game was, and I always go back to one game. 2007 Patriots Cowboys. They were two undefeated teams. The Patriots went undefeated the whole year. Cowboys were undefeated. It was a clash. They were in it for a while. But as you just continue to play, as the game 60 minutes goes out, you realize, yeah, they're a lot better than you and all that. And I think that Cowboys did that.
Amber?
Yeah, I think they were able to recover from how the game started. I mean, they started pretty inconsistently, not fast. They got better as they went. They were making certain mistakes, even when Dak threw the interception, you're like, oh, here we go again. But they were able to pick it up. CeeDee Lamb, he had one of his best games yesterday. He was playing, and I know people, and Brian, you saw a tweet that I thought was pretty funny. It's just like, I forgot what it said specifically, but
playing like he doesn't want Odell Beckham here.
Right, playing like he doesn't want Odell here, which was pretty funny because the way that he was playing is something. It was just another level, another energy that he had yesterday. It was like with some grunt in him, like he had some power to him. So that was really, really exciting to see. On offense and seeing him play that way, as well as the running game was working too. So it's just when you start seeing every single piece working out, it just gets you really, really excited to what this team has ahead and what they can be when they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, Dan Quinn figured out yesterday that his four-man rush wasn't getting home. So all of a sudden, the adjustment that he makes is now you're going to bring linebacker pressure, you're going to bring safety pressure, and then that's how you're going to get the sacks, and that's how you're going to get. I think the Cowboys' defensive reputation was preceding them in this football game, because I look at the way that Matt Ryan. I mean, it was like he was not really interested in sitting in there and delivering a football. Several wide throws, several throws that were, really not on target for him, and it just became a real struggle for them to have to pick up the front, the blitzes, and things like that. So, when you watch enough tape of the Cowboys' defense, you see how they attack you. And the last thing you want to be doing is holding the football. I think it was another really good game of playing run defense. I felt like that Hankins has been worth his weight in gold, and that's a lot of weight and a lot of gold right there, because this guy doesn't get moved off the spot. You've got guys that are, you got guys like Wilson and Van Der Esch, and these guys they tackled. They had Barr back. I think he played pretty well for you. So, yeah, your defense just kind of, the offense, as Ambar was saying, she always asks this, get off to a good start, get off to a good start. I mean, you couldn't have got off to a worse start to start the second half than to get the ball at the 50-yard line and go nowhere. And you're like, damn it, what's going on here? Find a way to kind of get the rhythm going. But, you were able to kind of, the defense kind of kept you in this game. And the more that and we've talked about this, the more you score, the harder it was going to be for the Colts. And then once you got that rhythm, like Ambar was talking about, with your receivers, the running game, the quarterback, the offensive line, that's when the avalanche came. And, you know, we were expecting that, that the Colts couldn't score. And, you know, I mean, I think it was the third or fourth highest total they've had for the season, and that was only 19 points. So that kind of shows you where you're at going into that one and how you were able to finish it off.
Yeah, the interesting thing is I think what's getting lost in this for some fans, first of all, if you can't find joy in a 54-19 drubbing of the opponent, then what are you doing as a fan? Like, maybe you need to just reevaluate whether you really want to be a fan of the sport or not. But one thing I think that's getting lost in that conversation is this is a team that's scrappy, and they have been scrappy in some games. They took Philadelphia to the wire. Yeah. Philadelphia ends up winning with a touchdown there late in order to take a one-point lead and to win that game. This is not a team that – and we talked about it last week, and I told people last week that I talked to – it's like, this is not the kind of team where you usually – where you look at them and you're like, oh, this is a foregone conclusion. The Cowboys are going to just destroy them.
Right.
You just don't know. And they've been playing better football since their head coach was fired, ironically.
Yeah.
And that's what you saw there in the first half. I think in the second half, what you saw is what good teams do, Nick. You hit the nail on the head. Good teams, they figure it out at some point, and then they just start kind of – it starts piling on because they're just better.
You.
They're just better.
Yeah, they were. They did a really – I just felt like when you look it over, I thought it was a really nice game plan too. I know there was some stumbling a little bit with the offense, but the fact that I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing with them moving CeeDee Lamb around and getting him in motion and getting him opportunities to separate and things like that. And I you know, you get to give Michael Gallup some credit on the first touchdown that he had, his ability. He was – you know, he was going to be – the play was designed a bunch formation, and all of a sudden it wasn't open. What'd he do? He stopped, and then he saw Dak break, and he took off running. You know, and it's like, listen, I can't just stand here. I got to keep going. And he did, and he got the ball, and then he got in. You know, and that's what this team is doing. It's finding ways to manufacture stops. It's finding ways to score touchdowns when they get opportunities. And I think that's the right thing. I think what you're also seeing is this is a pretty deep team. This is a really deep team, and you know they're battle tested in a lot of ways just because of some of the adversity that they've had to deal with. So you do see some young guys stepping up and making plays. You talk about the rookie class and things like that. You know, they've done a really, really nice job of having to incorporate a lot of kids, and they're making plays.
Look at Dak Prescott's day. He was 20 of 30, 67% completion rate, 170 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, 100.7 quarterback rating. Nick, what do you think of his play, particularly? And I want to focus in on those first three quarters because it was kind of some up and down moments where the offense was good and the offense was not so good. What were your thoughts on his play?
I thought he played pretty well. I mean, I'm trying to go back. I mean, it's funny because the fourth quarter just kind of clouds everything as far as, you know, it's hard to go back and remember some of the game, some of the first couple of drives of the game. But I, you know, I thought it was pretty good. They stumbled somewhat. But you know, he was solid. I think at the end of the night, his ratings 100 and 3 touchdowns. I'm trying to go back to even remember the interception. I don't even remember. I know he threw one, but I thought
they bumped the receiver a bit. But I mean, it would have been a. They probably would have thought it was a ticky-tack kind of foul.
It was a face mask off the line. That's what they missed. Yeah. They missed the face mask there. But I don't think the bump was a penalty so much. But you know, got to give the Cowboys credit. I know that's not what you're asking, but you got to give them credit for the 3 penalties. I mean, 3 penalties, especially when one of them's right off the bat with Joseph, and then in the second quarter. I mean, in the second half with Ferguson, and that was the only two other than a PI from Bland. I mean, I thought for the most part, you know, we knew this was going to be a crew that throws a lot of flags. Yeah. But I thought the Cowboys stayed pretty disciplined. As for Dak, I thought he was solid. He did what he needed to do. Didn't throw an interception right before the half. That was big. Over the
even
middle.
Though he threw it to the middle of the field.
Even though he tried, it seemed like there was a couple times. Look at old Schultz. But I thought he played pretty well. He didn't run at all. Yeah. It didn't felt like he needed to really.
Yeah, the running back feed and speed did a great job for you with their 29 carries and their 168 yards and 3 touchdowns. You know, I just keep
looking. That's a good back.
Yeah, that's feed and speed is a really good back. And that's what that's what this team is going to be all about going forward. Mm-hmm. It's going to be, can those two guys find ways to combine and have, you know, whether who gets how many carries, it doesn't matter if they're close. If one gets 17, one gets 15, you get the 168 yards, you answer with the three touchdowns right there, you're going to make your quarterback's life really, really easy playing these games.
You know, something that I don't think we've talked about it a whole lot, and going back to the topic of when we were talking about Mike McCarthy and what he's done with this team, and even Kellen Moore, what he's done with the offense, is their ability to adjust in the middle of the game. They're like, for the longest time, for a couple of years, they were incapable, I don't even know what's the right word, but they could not
damn bad at it.
Exactly, damn bad at it. They could not adjust to save their lives. Like, it was terrible, and the other team would end up coming back and kicking them. But now we see a team, whether they end up with a win or loss, regardless, they have a very good ability to adjust. And going back, and I know we're talking about Dak, but real quick, going back to even the defense and what you were talking about, Brian, the defense struggled at the beginning, and Dan Quinn figured out a way to kind of adjust and just make it work and make and stop the opposing team and just completely dominate them. So that's an aspect that I don't think we've kind of pointed out and talked about a whole lot. And going back to Dak, that applies with him as well. His ability to kind of, I guess, recover from his mistakes and just kind of adjust throughout the game and try to play a more clean game with the offense, I think is very notable. And honestly, I know that there's a lot of Dak criticism out there, but it does deserve a lot of praise in that aspect.
Let's talk about the running game. Running game obviously was really, really good yesterday. They had 34 rushes for 220 yards, a 6.5 average, four touchdowns. Pollard had 12 carries for 91 yards. Zeke had 17 carries for 77 yards.
Malik Davis, three for 29,
Malik
too.
Davis also came
late
in there at the
late
end. But yeah. But yeah, just all the way around, their running game was really, really impressive yesterday. Then after the game, there was a little question as to why exactly Pollard got the start. I'll start the question really with, does it even matter?
No.
It doesn't.
Does not matter what the deal is. It's just annoying, you know, a little bit when you get four different answers. And the owner said that there's something wrong, you know, with Zeke, a disciplinary issue with his cell phone. It wasn't major. He wasn't sent home from the bowl game. I mean, like, he gets to play.
Still gets the swag.
Did you steal a credit card there at the Belk Bowl?
Come on now. I don't know why you got to sprinkle that news out there but like that. But,
That's pretty good.
He played 17 carries. I mean, he played whatever it was. Like, oh, sorry, sit down for a second. Now you come in. And he ran pissed off. And I thought he ran really well. Zeke did. Whatever it is, it's just weird of, like, you know, Zeke's like, it's not a big deal. You know, this is what I wanted to do. And Dak was like, yeah, we want to mix it up a little bit. And was like, whatever it is, just give him the ball. Who cares? At this point, it doesn't matter. Brian said it best. It doesn't matter. These guys are interchangeable. Zeke is scoring. Pollard's scoring up the middle and 3-yard run. He's showing he can be a short yardage guy at times, not all the time, but at times. And then, you know, I think Zeke's doing a nice job. Zeke hasn't really been kind of your outside guy, but he did bust one there. You know, I don't remember when it was in the game, but I thought he had a nice little run to the outside. He started a little high step. It was down there by the goal line. You know, he kind of looked like old Zeke for a little bit. So whatever it is, it's working. You know, if the cell phone's going off in the meetings, whatever it is, I don't think it's a problem.
I had flashbacks of that run you were talking about down the sidelines, because somebody sitting next to me in the press box was like, it's fantasy football. And the first thing I thought of was Derek with his fantasy football team and stuff like that. And this guy's
he was watching.
He's like, go, Zeke, go, go, go. And I'm like, bro, really? He goes, fantasy football. He's got a score right there. You know?
Like, what? It happens.
You remind me of guys to work with.
It was a glorious fantasy football night for me last night this defense. But, you know, Nick, you and I talked about it during the game. As you were watching Zeke, and really it's been over the last couple weeks, he has a little bit of burst that I haven't seen from him in a while. Mm-hmm. There was one run last night where you could clearly see the hole open. He's exploded through it. And that was one of the things that we hadn't been seeing from Zeke in a while that you could see the difference when Pollard was in there. Yeah. Because he does. He has that explosiveness. Right. And you hadn't really seen that from Zeke consistently. But I think he's starting to get a little bit more of that. He seems a little bit shiftier. He seems like he has a little bit more burst. Maybe the health is the big issue there, right?
Yeah.
And Nick, I think you mentioned that last night. When has he been healthy like this?
That's good.
So all the way around, I do think that it doesn't matter which one is in there. They're using them both and using them both well.
And pride has got to factor into it as well. I mean, Zeke has been the man.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden, Tony Pollard is coming in there. And whether or not, I mean, they have a great relationship. I don't think it's a problem, but like if any alpha male in the world sees, you know, another guy coming in and making some plays and doing that, if he's got anything to him, and we know Zeke does, you know, it's kind of, I think they've carried each other in a healthy way.
Tip of the cap, too, to a couple positions. Tyler Biadasz played his best game at center. And then also the wide receivers, all the crack toss stuff that they ran. You got helmet stickers for Gallup, for Lamb, for Brown, all those guys. Every time the ball got to the edge, it was a crack, a seal by the receivers. Great job by them. And now you're getting big bodies in space and stuff like that. So they did some of that with the toss sweep stuff was really effective. But I felt like that watching the All-22 that Tyler Biadasz by far had one of his best games. When you start talking about the some of the pickups inside, the pass protection, and then what he was able to do in the running game, one-on-one with Buckner several times in that game, that we're able to have some positive yards.
Yeah, you could tell that they're doing some things with that offensive line, shuffling it around a little bit, seeing about when Tyron comes back. You know, they're getting Tyler Smith some work at left guard, but, man, that touchdown run by Pollard down the left sideline where Tyler Smith –
yeah.
I mean, he looked like sunshine from Remember the Titans. He was just running and blocking and running and blocking, and he was down there with them at the same time. I mean, I thought that was impressive. I mean, they have a good problem to have here with their offensive line and Tyron coming back and what they're going to do with McGovern and Tyler Smith and Peters is getting some work. I mean, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the wide receivers particularly and what they're doing and how much that should or shouldn't factor into what's going on with OBJ. We'll also talk about the offensive line and maybe the return of Tyron Smith and what they're doing on the offensive line. We'll do that when we come right back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
What do you call a group of grown men and women with their faces painted silver and blue who get together every week to share a 3-hour-long ritual of jumping, singing, and toasting Miller Lite and 10-gallon hats while yelling, "How about them cowboys?" You call it Miller Time in Dallas. Here's to the cowboys. Here's to the original light beer. It's Miller Time. Celebrate responsibly. 2021 Miller Brewing Company, Fort Worth, Texas.
Want to use what the pros use? How about the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys? Jack Black. Right now you can get the Jack Black Starter, a curated collection of Cowboys locker room favorites for just $10 with free shipping. The starter includes 4 Jack Black skincare favorites plus a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Go to getjackblack.com/cowboys and use the code word TEAMJB. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys. The Jack Black Starter, $10, free shipping.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far, with up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less. The satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back to the break.
This December, the only thing hotter than the Dallas Cowboys will be the Endless Cowboys Nation gift options. Man, I'm glad they won last night because that read would have been weird. Visit your local pro shop or log on to shop.dallascowboys.com, a Fanatics experience, and give the gift of the star this holiday season.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star, presented by this segment presented by blockchain.com. Let's talk about the wide receiver CeeDee Lamb. Had 5 catches on 7 targets for 71 yards and a touchdown. Michael Gallup had 4 catches on 7 targets for 23 yards and 2 touchdowns. Question for you guys is, does the emergence of CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, which I think by over the last few weeks we've started to see those guys step up in a bigger way and make more impressive plays for this team. But all that being said, do you think that should make the Cowboys more or less feel like they really need to land Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you think it matters at all? Does that matter at all?
Honest answer to the question would be, I think that they don't need Odell as much as everyone thinks they do. I really don't think that they need him so much, especially for what it might take. But again, I'm not saying not to sign him, but need him for what? I mean, like, They can win these games without it. But like as Brian mentions a lot of the time, it's going to get tough when you're in the playoffs and it's going to get 4th-and-3 and all that. And who do you want out there? I mean, they can win these games and they can be dynamic without him. But I've seen great football teams in the last 20 years. I've seen them. I've also seen them go home in the divisional round. At some point, you got to get somebody that can take you over the top. And maybe he can be that guy. Great movie, by the way, Over the Top.
Over the top.
It was good.
It's a really good bad movie.
Yeah. Good bad movies. Yeah.
Good bad movie. Over the Top.
Amber.
No, that's what I was thinking, too. It's do you need him? Okay, now with the way that they play, I mean, not to say exactly what you just said, but that is exactly how it is. They've been playing each week after week. They keep playing better. I think CeeDee is complimented Michael Gallup, and they're complementing each other. The longer they go with practicing and being around Dak Prescott, and that's something that they've mentioned themselves, like CeeDee Lamb talked about it, that just spending more time with Dak after him being back from the injury, it just keeps getting better and better naturally. So seeing that in the way, and like I said, something about him in the way that he played yesterday, he just has some in him, like he was ready to play and fight and give it his all. So his energy was at another level that I don't think we've seen. I can't remember a game where he's played with that kind of, not anger, but tenacity in the game.
It was Oklahoma CeeDee yesterday.
It was Oklahoma CeeDee.
He was freaking great. So you would love to keep seeing that. But again, are we all in for this season? I think that I don't care how they're playing. If you add a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., you're going to need, like, there's going to be a moment that he's going to make a play for you, which is just going to take you to the next level. And the other part of it, too, is that, yes, they're playing better week after week, but at the same time, there's still that quote-unquote inconsistency aspect of it where you just don't 1,000% trust what kind of offense you're going to get that day or how long it's going to take for them to kind of get things moving. And by that time, when they get things rolling, is it too late? Is the opposing team just way ahead of you? So that's another point to look at. But I think that, this year I'm going all in. Give me whoever you can bring in here. Doesn't matter, who's number one, or just have them all out there. There's a space for you, and we can always use you.
Bring it. Just bring it. I wish he was a cornerback. I wish he was an all-pro cornerback.
I could take that, yeah.
Yeah, you could probably use that right now. But, yeah, everything that these guys said about the player is absolutely right.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And one more thing about Odell. I mean, Odell and CeeDee, I've said this a bunch of times that if you try to sign him, you're pretty much making sure that you're going to – I think you're going to make a decision on what you want to do with CeeDee as well. And the good thing for CeeDee is that he's playing right now like You want to keep him on your football team because if he was
one of the best five receivers in the league
right
now.
He's playing right now. He is. And so if he wasn't, though, and you would be like, all right, well, this is kind of weird because, I mean, we're going to sign him. We also signed Gallup. And then what are we going to do with CD? But if this means that next year in the offseason, the CD's agent says, hello, we want a little something done as well. Let's start, you know, feeding us. I think you'd be like, well, let's figure it out because he's playing like a guy you want to keep on your football team. Yeah. When he made that move back over the middle late in the game, caught a pass over the middle on third down, and then he went backwards to go around, mm-hmm. that was just a shifty type play that you've seen in college so many times. And that's a dynamic.
Derek's right. That's the Oklahoma CD right there.
Right.
Ball across the middle, all of a sudden everybody's got angles and he's killing angles with the way he's running the ball.
Or he's making moves that makes you just like overrun the play. Like he was, that's the kind of dynamic player that I think everyone that evaluated him thought were getting when drafted him where they drafted him. Mm-hmm. And he's shown flashes of that since he's been with the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Over these last several games, you're starting to see it more consistently. Mm-hmm. Every week he's now giving you these plays and these moments where you really need somebody to make a play.
Yeah, and he's playing, you know, like Amber said, he's playing with some grit, you know, like they ran the ball with him a couple times.
Yeah. Twice,
he needs to be careful with that, you know what I mean? Because he's not Jim Brown. I mean, like, he can't just keep, oh, I'm going to lower my shoulder on everybody because he's going to lose some of those. But he is running the ball well, and he's finishing runs, which you don't really talk about a number one receiver about finishing the play, finishing the run.
Well, some of Zeke's is, like, kind of rubbing off of him. Yeah. That's what I saw in him, just kind of that Zeke ability that he just kind of – keeps fighting for those extra yards or whatever. He keeps going at it. So it's really impressive and very, very exciting to see this happening at the time that is happening in December, exactly when you need them to be playing this way.
All right, let's talk about the offensive line. Yesterday they allowed one sack throughout the course
broke
of that game.
Broke their streak, right? Then they were going for, what, four straight games without a sack?
Yeah.
Three straight games, something like that, without a sack?
But the good thing is you look at that, you look at the fact that they allowed, they will – the primary catalyst behind that 220 yards on the ground. All in all accounts, it was a really good day for the offensive line. Yeah. That being said, we also saw a lot of moving around. Nick, you mentioned it. Tyler Smith moving to guard some. Connor McGovern staying in at guard while Jason Peters was at tackle. What did you guys take from all that you saw yesterday with regards to the guard, the left guard, left tackle, and what they were doing with it?
Kind of feel like that when you watch them play. And, you know, it's funny because Stephen Jones has always been one of those guys about continuity. You know, you always talk about, well, same five guys. You know, we've had continuity. I asked him a question on 105.3 The Fan. I'm like, we're in a new era here, boss. No continuity. It's all just, and he goes, yeah, it's kind of weird. You know, when you look at how, you know, you got guys, you want to play them, you want to keep them ready, you want to do all those things. And you know, they really are. They're preparing themselves for when Tyron Smith comes back. Tyron Smith, as we've talked about this, we've been on this from day one about him and when he's going to come back. You're going to see Tyron Smith practice this week. And can you get him ready? I don't think it's this weekend, but the Jacksonville game sure looks like a possibility where you'll see, you know. Now, I me personally, I think you might see a rotation at left guard. I don't think I would take McGovern necessarily off the field on some stuff. If you want to take Tyler Smith and McGovern and kind of work them together. But then, like, it's good to kind of keep Peters fresh and get him some work, because if something does happen, you don't want him to have to completely come in week 17 in a game and be cold. By getting him work, at least you're keeping his conditioning up and being ready if something does happen. But I think they're absolutely doing this thing the right way when it comes to all these guys playing. I think Peters did a nice job in the game yesterday. I told you what I thought about Biotish, you know, and you know he I thought he had one of his best games, and that's difficult. I felt like one of the strengths of the Colts defensive line was inside at those tackles, and there were several times where he was one-on-one and was able to finish up pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Terrence Steele not playing, not practicing a lot during the week. He had some personal issues he was dealing with, and he came back and he played, and you know, all in all, 200 something rushing yards, 220. Everyone's, you know, for that kind of shuffling around and still having that kind of success, even at the end of the game, Malik Davis. You know, I mean, like they did what they wanted to do, and that's just a dominant effort, and it was fun to watch. I mean. And say what you want, Colts aren't a good team, whatever, but You shouldn't be getting, you know, beat down like that. And I think the Cowboys are a hungry team because they are they're still chasing.
Yeah.
They see what they the made Eagles the
Colts,
are doing.
They made the Colts quit yesterday.
Oh.
They did. They you know, really, they made the Colts quit, and that was the whole idea, to, you know, to try and do that, you know, because they don't score a lot of points. They don't finish games particularly well. So, yeah, that 30-yard run, you started seeing some, a little bit of quit out there on the Colts.
Yeah, to me, they were kind of like hyenas, like what you see of hyenas when they're running packs. And as soon as they sensed that they got the prey where they want them, oh, they all attack. And there's no pulling them back. And it, that was what that fourth quarter felt like to me yesterday. Like, they just – there was blood there, and they were like, oh, we're going to finish them, and we're going to eat.
Well, there's sometimes this team doesn't like prosperity. There's sometimes they don't like it, make it easy. They made it easy yesterday. They really, really did.
Yeah. The only thing that didn't happen was a sack by Micah Parsons. I mean, that's about it, you know.
Yeah, Micah in the locker room after the game. It was interesting because, you know, I think he was happy for the win. Don't get me wrong. But you could tell he's just a little different in the locker room when there's no sacks versus when there's two sacks. Because that's really the only two options for him. It's either going to be zero or it's going to be more than two.
Yeah,
he's not going to get just one.
I'll tell you, to be the wet blanket guy, the only thing that I was really disappointed, you had a blocked extra point. You know, and that was over between the center and then McGovern. If you talk about offensive line,
Did you go back and watch that play? Because Fossil said after the game, I talked to him walking out, and he said that he went to the officials because they did something, the Colts did something that was pretty much illegal.
Overloaded that one side is what they did, but if he's Sandy to hit the center.
I don't know, like,
because
exactly.
the center, Overton got turned. He opened up bad. And then that had just allowed, you know, the rush to get through. But they were bad at center, and they were bad at the right guard.
And Maher's extra points are hugging that right upright. I don't know if you noticed that, but it's getting
That's what they're doing. They're rushing off that side because people are feeling like the ball is, since they're on that hash, that he's going to start it right. Mm-hmm. So they're overloading the Cowboys' right side to rush. If you want to be nitpicky about a special teams play, boy, that one was kind of a bad one.
I do want to take our final break and come back. Let's talk some defense. Some interesting moments from the defense. Some good, some not so good. We'll talk about it when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
The season is finally here. For months, we've been gearing up to win. Now it's time for the team that performs on any field. United Ag and Turf. With John Deere zero turns for mowing, compact tractors for loading, mini excavators for digging, Gator utility vehicles for hauling, implements for grading, hay tools for baling, United Ag and Turf for winning. The official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com for more.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Lil' Sweet!
Did you get to work on time?
Yeah, but I just realized it's Sunday.
Lil' Sweet says head on home. Dr. Pepper's on its way. So sweet, unique. Baby, there's nothing better. I bet you've probably done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper. Did you invest your nest egg in an NFT?
Yeah, and I don't even know what that is.
It's a non-fungible token.
Everyone's done something that deserves a Dr. Pepper.
When you build, you start with the foundation. And home ownership is a foundation of a stable future. The Bank of America Community Home Ownership Commitment has helped over 34,000 people lay the groundwork so far. With up to $10,000 towards your down payment or 3% of the purchase price, whichever is less, the satisfaction of owning your own place can become a reality. Visit bankofamerica.com/homeowner to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, Equal Housing Lender. Credit and collateral is subject to approval. Restrictions apply. This is not a commitment to lend.
Back to the break.
'Tis the season for Cowboys holiday youth camps presented by Invisalign. Registration for one-day football and dance academy camps are now open. Don't miss your chance to send your athlete to camp at AT&T Stadium on December 20th and 21st. Register today at DallasCowboys.com/academy.
Welcome back. Final segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. Let's talk defense. Yesterday, the Cowboys defense only allowed 106 yards on the ground on 30 carries. That was a 3.5 average. Question is the run defense fixed finally?
I think so. I think that they've figured out that, you know, it's fixed against teams that don't have running quarterbacks. But I think
when you have a running quarterback,
though, there's more dynamic.
That is true.
If you got the statues back there, yeah, I think that's fine. But let's see what happens when you get a quarterback that can move a little bit more. I mean,
when you look at the rest of their schedule, you got Philly. Obviously, that is that. Is there another team that you'd be concerned about from that standpoint?
I mean,
Tennessee's guy runs a little bit.
He does. Yesterday he did quite a bit.
He was a wide receiver in college. And I would imagine. I mean, I don't think he's going to win any sprinting contests, but I think Trevor Lawrence can probably.
Yeah.
You know, he's tall, lanky. Yeah. He can move around a little bit.
Sure, yeah.
You know, he's going to just take off if you need to. So nothing like what the Eagles do. Yeah. You know, as far as that type of thing, but you know. When you talk about the Eagles, though, they've got two really good receivers. Diggs can't cover both of them, so that's going to be a problem there.
Yep,
we getting to that at all? Mm.
Well, we'll save that for another day. We got more.
We're not going to talk about.
Yes, we're going to talk about that.
Okay,
but not the other.
Oh, the Eagles.
Yeah, sure. We're not talking about that.
No,
Amber. Is the run defense fixed? Is it fixed?
I think it's too soon to say it's fixed. I think the sample size is still pretty small. And looking at the opposing teams that we play, like Nick said, I mean, that's a great point. It all depends what the quarterback does. So right now, I think they've taken steps to get better. But it's still, the sample size is not enough for me to say it's completely fixed. We'll have to see kind of in 2 weeks what that looks like. But I like where it's going. I like where it's trending, and I like what they're doing. And even if it's a small adjustment, it's still taking a step forward.
They're better with Hankins, and they're playing as a defensive tackle. That's for sure. Teams have a hard time. The 19-yard run they gave up was kind of a bad play. They had it for a gain of maybe 3 or 4, and it turned into 19 yards because nobody felt they needed to use their arms to tackle on that particular
play. It's almost like they lost him there for a second, and he just pops out and
it's funny because they had a chance to tackle. It would have been like a 3 or 4 yard gain, which they've been doing a really good job. But all of a sudden, you know, he goes in there, he's bouncing off guys, and then he's out the back door, and it's a 19-yard gain, and you know, you would have been in the situation a lot better off. I think they're getting more bodies to the ball. I think they're kind of figuring out about, you know, they have to get off blocks. They're not getting hooked. I think teams are still going to try perimeter runs on you, though. I think that, you know, there's a couple of times there the ball, you know, got to the edge. But, you know, like I say, Wilson did a really good job having him in the game. I just really like what Hankins has been able to do, especially inside.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just not a guy that's sitting there holding on blocks. He's being really active. He's forcing blockers to have to take him. And then when the backs are running, they see indecision. It's like, I'm not sure where the hole is here. So, yeah, you know, that's somebody make a save in the game.
Yeah, I'm sorry, PKs are going on here.
Make a save?
Yeah, the only part of the soccer where I like to me, like, this is fun. Like, this is fun soccer when you get to the penalty kicks.
Well, you know what's not fun? What's happening? Now that we're talking about the run defense, I started thinking, okay, what's happening at cornerback and how that's going to affect possibly how are managing like the run defense. I feel like now you're going to need help with like linebackers.
Yeah, can I throw this in real quick? Because I do think there was a moment in this game. Obviously, I think it was the first touchdown Indianapolis had on that drive. You saw Anthony Brown give up a 45-yard pass downfield. And this is not the first time we've seen that. And as the season has gone on, it seems like teams more and more frequently are starting to say, hey, that guy over there, number three, he's a target downfield. Like, we should be going after him. And these aren't even against necessarily the best receivers on the opposing teams. They're just saying, put one of your guys out there and let him go downfield and win one-on-one, and they're winning. So when you start talking about Anthony Brown now, and for those that haven't heard, there's a speculation that he's lost for the season. Jerry kind of mentioned it, that it looks like it might be an Achilles. He'd be done for the season. how much are you really missing, or how much of a delta is there between Anthony Brown and, let's say, for the sake of argument, Kelvin Joseph?
Me personally, I kind of feel like, okay, if you want to talk about running game, the one thing I know about Kelvin Joseph is he'll come forward because we've seen him tackle on special teams. You know, we'll see he has that aggressive mentality. We've seen Bland come up and tackle, mm-hmm. you know, with ball in the flat, he comes charging up. I actually feel like you're going to be better on the outside playing the run defense when you got guys that are willing to set the edge. You know, more of a willingness to step up and make those plays.
Has that been a problem on Anthony Brown's side?
It's been both. I mean, and Brown is just a smaller guy, and sometimes he just gets bounced. I mean, he's standing there and he gets bounced, and you know that with when you got guys like Joseph and Bland, they do a good job of seeing it and is flying forward. And I think that's where you're going to benefit. Now, I'll say this about Joseph in coverage. Joseph has not played a lot of football. And I mean that at LSU, he didn't play very much. He was like one season. He didn't play very much at Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, he's now playing for the Dallas Cowboys. I kind of feel like there's a reason why that Dan Quinn and those and Will McClay went to Lexington, Kentucky to work on this guy and then to draft him. I think the ability is absolutely there. The special teams play was bad yesterday. You know, you got to have better awareness. But you look at his situation, I do think he can cover. I think he's fast enough. I don't think you're going to run by him. And I think he's going to compete. You know, those are all. Give me, if you tell me this guy is going to get more reps and more opportunity and more time to practice at his craft, I think there's a legitimate player there for you. I really do. And this might be one of those things. I think something was wrong with Anthony Brown. I really do. I don't know if it was confidence. I don't know if he was injured. You know, the play he got hurt on was really unfortunate. It was a screen play that they ran for a big yard. He got pulled. I mean, the blocker grabs him. And, I mean, Pierce pulls his jersey, and he gets yanked back. And that's where his Achilles ruptures. You know, he's trying to step, and then he steps, and then it kind of yanks, and, you know, it's like – it's one of those injuries, like if you yank a guy from behind, it blows out his hamstring, just sudden stops. Mm-hmm. I think that's what happened in this game. But I'm confident that they will figure out between Bland and Joseph with the number of reps that these guys will get in practice. I think you'll see two young guys that will fight and compete and be better for it.
He scares you because he's a reckless player. And he's reckless on how he plays. And I'm just talking about on the field. Obviously, off the field, there's been his thing. But that's beyond that. Reckless, of course. But on the field, he's a penalty waiting to happen. And it just doesn't seem like structure is always that important as far as, like, well, run down here. I mean, he's just going to hit someone or do, you know, run 45 yards or whatever. And you know, that scares you to death when he's covering somebody. And you know, I think if he gets in a crew where they throw a lot of PIs, I think that, you know, I mean, he gives up a touchdown, they throw it, you know, and he's going to give up some plays, probably more so than Brown. But like y'all said, Brown has been making some as well. Maybe like Brian said, he's got to continue to play. But I'm definitely going to look at my options. I'm looking at my options on outside of this football team to try to get a little bit more stability at that position.
You were a person, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, that earlier, going back to training camp, you kind of wanted to see McQuamu down at corner a little bit more. Is that something you still would hope to see?
I don't think they'll do that. Yeah. I don't think they'll do that. And, you know, Nashawn Wright is a player that, I mean, drafted in the third round. I mean, I don't know, you know, what I still think he is a safety type player. I don't think he's a corner so much, but we might get to see that a little bit. I don't know, with the Sheffield, he's been on the practice squad, right? Kendall Sheffield. I mean, you just got to look at options. I mean, but they're committed to Kelvin Joseph. They're committed because based off this offseason, if you weren't committed, you would let him go.
You would have let him go.
So they're committed, and this is the opportunity that
I'm just hoping that, like you said, I'm hoping that the reps give him confidence that you're right, because I saw it was funny you said that, because I saw your tweet last night. Is there anybody that gets more penalties for the number of plays he plays in a game than this guy? And that's something that – but I also feel like, though, that he's the one guy that he's got more ability And then he really did. I love Bland. I really do. I think Bland. I think somebody out in California missed that guy playing Pac-12 football. Mm-hmm. But you watch at what he's been able to do. How confident he plays. What, three interceptions already this year for him. Great for him to do that. But I think they'll figure it out between Bland and then also with Joseph. I really, really do.
You know, I want to buy what your eyes are seeing because I trust your expertise and your years of experience and what you watch on film. But right now...
This is a compliment sandwich, I feel like,
man.
Coming out right here.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want it right now. Do you know, like, this guy has made me more angry than happy. Like, there's only ones that I was like, oh, that was pretty nice. But other than that, I'm just upset every time. And I think that at this point of the year, and another thing, real quick, like, that play, even where Hooker got the interception and he starts running, I put up a video on there, but if you watch the replay, I mean, Joseph kind of goes as if he's about to tackle the guy, like tackle his own teammate and stop him. And Hooker, he kept going, you know, he kept running.
You're saying my guy's not very aware, huh?
Exactly. That's the problem.
Just a little bit.
Awareness. Like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. But at the same time, that's the point that we're at in the month of December, mm-hmm. heading into mid-December. I don't think now is enough time for him to take the next step to get to the next level. I think maybe next year you see what he does at training camp. If there's really an extensive amount of things that he's doing out there that gives you hope or whatever, keep him. If not, bye. Because right now I'm just like, but the point is, like, who do you have?
Yeah,
like,
you have no recourse right now.
You know, you have to stick
with
him right
now.
Well, that's why I kind of say that you give Bland and Joseph both the opportunity to play, and you know you're going to kind of have to.
I would rather see more of Bland.
Oh no, I mean, they might very well see that too. But there is somebody upstairs that put his you know what on the line for Kelvin Joseph to be here. And to Nick's point, there's a reason why they didn't send him into the streets when all that went down in the streets,
mm-hmm.
you know. So somebody is like thinking, we might need this guy. Well, but to your point, I can't
that
disagree.
Awareness part.
I can't disagree with your point.
You can't really teach it. It just comes with experience.
It's the experience.
And that's the hard part of the year.
That's what I think. He has not played a lot of football. They took a gamble mm-hmm. on a guy that has not played a lot of football.
I think you're going to get into a situation where you know a whole week of reps and prep going into a game. I could see where. You know, you're sitting in the press box going, all right, they're really picking on Joseph here today. You know, they're going at him. How does he respond to that? That's going to be the key. But, you know, he gets a penalty because cornerback confidence is a huge thing, and it can snowball on you. We've seen it with really good players like Terrence Newman. I remember a game at his last few games with the Cowboys. His confidence just wasn't there. And he still played six more years in the league mm-hmm. And played a 15-year career. But at that moment right then, he just didn't have it anymore. And so confidence can be a tricky thing for corners. Hopefully he can, you know, not get into one of those ruts.
Well, and real quick, I know we're about to leave, but you talking about confidence led me to think, we know these defensive players, they get mad and they start like yelling at you. And we saw it, I forgot, what game was that?
Green Bay.
Where I'm not saying they were turning on each other, but it kind of seemed that way. And then they got into like, well, we just like to have people take accountability for what their role is, stick to your role and do your job. It does concern me in a scenario where now you got a guy like Kelvin Joseph, a young guy who's trying to learn, whatever, but making these mistakes, how are his teammates reacting to that? Then does that kind of take a toll on him as a player, his confidence, and then he just goes downhill from that? Because that's a big thing with this defense. They want you to do your job, do what you're supposed to do, and if you're not, it creates a little bit of conflict.
I think this is going to be big on Dan Quinn, and it's going to be big on Al Harris and those guys and Joe Witt as how they get this kid ready every week. They've got to pump him up. They've got to pump him up to the team. You know, I mean, they've got to point out when Joseph makes a good play, even Bland, when they make good plays and practice the right reads. Hey, good job, you know, that kind of thing, because that's going to be important. There's a lot of people like you, Ambar, and a lot of people out there that just going to like, man, I don't trust this guy. This guy hasn't shown me anything for my trust to be there. But we're to the point now where you're like, you got to get somebody ready. Like in San Francisco right now, they got to get, you know, they got to get a quarterback ready out there. You know, they're in the middle. I mean, nobody's feeling sorry for you right now that you just lost your starting corner. That you got to figure out with the guys you got how to make this work. And I think this is going to be on Quinn and Witt and then Al Harris and them to get these cats ready.
All right, appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back tomorrow. Brian's going to have a game for us on Tuesday tomorrow.
There you go.
We'll do a little of that. We'll get some big picture looks around the NFC. Till then, for Nick Eatman, Brian Broaddus, Amber Garcia, I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!